The reading this morning will be taken from Matthew 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets.
As you see Judy today, you may want to extend sympathy to her. Today is our anniversary. She was at the early service and not at this service. 38 years ago today, I said I do, and since then, she's been saying you'd better. Laying all joking aside, I appreciate so much what Judy has meant to me and the support that she has given me, especially in the work of the church. She works more behind the scenes, and some of you don't see some of the things that she does and what she means, especially to me. But I thank God for 38 years, and I look forward to the next 38 years with her. By that time, I may be gray-headed. What a wonderful audience this morning. We had, I think, a larger-than-usual audience at the 8 o'clock service. It's been a wonderful day. I want to talk to you this morning. Perhaps that summarizes what I want to do more than preaching a sermon. Sometimes when I'm standing at the back door or the door and people are leaving, someone will say, "I think you aimed that lesson right at me this morning." I don't ever want to aim a lesson at anyone to get even or to get at or to hurt somebody. But frankly, I try to aim every lesson at you. In preparation for lessons, I try to think from the pew back to the pulpit. What do I want you to get in the pew? It's not worth anything for somebody to get up here and deliver an oration, and maybe you leave and you're impressed with the delivery or something, the one who delivered it. What matters is for us to learn the Word of God and to think about the Word of God in a very personal way. I think most of you realize that what Paul read a moment ago is what we usually refer to as the Golden Rule. I want to boil that golden rule down to five words, and then I want us to look at it in light of Romans chapter 12. You might even turn there if you have your Bible. I believe the golden rule can be boiled down to these five words: as ye would, do ye. As ye would, do ye. I'm going to have more questions this morning than I probably have ever had in a lesson. Most of the lesson will be just asking questions. And most of the answers are answers that you will give yourself. As ye would, do ye. Look first at verse 17 in Romans 12. The latter part of that verse in the King James Version says, "Provide things honest in the sight of all men." I believe in the American Standard Version it says, "Provide things honorable in the sight of all men." And I would guess that if you're using another version, that it would say about the same thing. It may use another word, but means the same thing. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I don't think there has ever been a week in my life, because of all the events that are taking place in our country, that I've thought any more about the subject of honesty. And I don't mean that statement to indict anybody, but simply to say that it seems that it's getting more difficult for us to get at the real truth in our dealings with one another. What do you want people to do in your direction? You want people to tell you the truth? Do you want to be able to say, when someone has told you something, that I can count on that because that person is himself? He is sincere. There is no veneer. What you see is what you get. Do you want people to tell you the truth when they tell you anything? If somebody owes you something, do you expect them to pay? Do you expect them to pay their bills and to pay on time, unless there are some circumstances that make it difficult? And even then, do you want them to at least call you and tell you that there is a problem? You expect other people to pay their bills in your direction? And if you're dealing with someone else in a business way, do you expect them to be open and honest and upfront with you? Are you concerned if there's some handing something under the table? Are some shady deals behind the scenes? What do you want in your dealings with other people? What do you expect? You might even let your mind wander for a moment to your home setting. What do you expect your wife to do relative to truth? What do you expect of your husband, your parents, your sons and daughters? Do you want your wife to be honest with you and really tell you what she's thinking? Do you want your husband to always tell you the truth and be upfront with you? Do you expect your children to tell you the truth or try to hide the situation? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. What do you want? Do you want the truth? Do you want honesty? Do you want fairness? As ye would, do ye. Now back up to verse 10 in Romans 12. And here in verse 10 he says, be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love. And then down in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Do you like for people to show affection in your direction? You like for people in your family to tell you that they love you? Do you appreciate little acts of kindness and maybe even a little gift sometime when it's not an anniversary or a birthday? And maybe you'd be satisfied if they just remember those. But do you like for something to be done in your direction? What about in the church? Do you like for others who are members of the church to show brotherly love, show concern in your direction? Suppose next Sunday you're visiting somewhere else in another city or away from here and you go to a congregation to worship. Would you like for somebody to speak to you as you come in the door? Or maybe at least as you leave the assembly, for somebody to shake your hand and say, we're glad you were there? Would you appreciate it when the service is over if maybe somebody on your seat walked over and introduced themselves or himself and asked who you were and where you were from and told you they were glad that you were there? Would you like to have that done? Maybe somebody on the seat behind you or the seat in front of you turns around and greets you, recognizes that you are a visitor? Or maybe next Sunday you're back here in your home congregation. Would you enjoy somebody coming by and saying howdy? We're glad you're here. It's always good to see you at every service. As ye would, do ye. What about hospitality? If you're visiting, would you enjoy someone saying, why not go home with us today? Or at least say something about coming back. What kind of hospitality do you show? What about the interest in one another? If you happen to be sick next Sunday, you're not at services, would it make you feel good if sometime during the week somebody called and said, just calling to see if you're okay, we missed you Sunday? Do you enjoy being missed? Do you appreciate being missed? Do you appreciate somebody showing some interest if you're not there? Maybe just a short telephone call, or they see you during the week, they say something about it. As ye would, do ye. If we're not careful, we want all of this friendliness to go in our direction. We want the hospitality to be shown in our direction. And sometimes we forget to show it in the other direction. Suppose you move into a new congregation here. You place membership, or maybe you're just baptized and you become a new member. Would you like for somebody to at least say, we're glad to hear that you're here. We're glad to hear that you were baptized. We're glad you've moved into our community. Suppose you move into this community on a certain street. Would you appreciate your next door neighbors coming over and introducing themselves and giving you a welcome to Henderson? As ye would, do ye. The story is told of two men who met at the edge of a little town back years ago when all of the moving would have been done in wagons. And the one, they stopped and were talking to each other, and the one leaving said, I'm leaving this town because I can't find any good neighbors. And the one coming in said, I'm moving in because I heard it was a neighborly town. As ye would, do ye. And then let's get in that verse 15, which is in between these verses we've been looking at. This 15th verse is just power-packed. We could talk about it all morning. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Suppose you have a new baby born, and nobody calls, nobody comes by, nobody says a word. Would you be concerned? You bring that new baby to church the first time. People just pass you in the aisle and look the other way. Not even interested in the fact that you have a new baby. What would you think? Suppose back about 2 or 3 months before that baby is born, there is a shower given for you. Nobody came. Nobody sent any gifts. What would you think? Suppose a little later on that baby grows up to be a young lady, decides to get married. And there's a bridal tea given. This is your daughter. Nobody came. Nobody said a word. What would you think? And then a few days later, there is a wedding planned, and you spend, and you invite the congregation. You have it announced in the services. You have it in the bulletin. Our daughter's getting married. We want all of you to come, and you get here, and practically nobody, none of your brothers and sisters in Christ came. What would you think? As ye would do ye. I heard a comment recently that I hope I never live long enough to hear said about me or my wife. The comment was that a certain person was at her daughter's shower and said, that's the first shower I ever saw her attend. As ye would, do ye. I think sometimes we preachers have difficulty with this rejoicing with those that rejoice. If my work's going well and I see my friends and tell them about it, I want them to rejoice with me. But how many times do I call one of them if I hear things are going well with them? If I'm going in a gospel meeting and it's a successful meeting, I want to come back and tell you about it. I want all of you to rejoice with me. But how many of my friends have I called when they have a successful gospel meeting? I really believe sometimes it's harder to rejoice with them that rejoice than it is to weep with them that weep. But let's think about that for just a moment. When you are sick, do you want anybody to care? Do you appreciate someone calling to see if you're still alive? Now, I know sometimes when you're sick, you don't really feel like answering the phone, but I don't think I've ever been sick enough, and I doubt that you have, but that you would at least appreciate knowing that somebody called to see how you were doing. Sometimes it takes 30 seconds. Maybe you're not where you can go to Jackson General or one of the hospitals to visit, but if you call, it'll probably cost you 7 cents or 14 cents. That's usually the two that are on my phone bill when I call the hospital. Because I don't talk very long when I call a hospital room, especially if I know the person is very sick. But if I'm in the hospital just to know somebody called, even if I don't answer the phone, if one of my family answers it and they come back and tell me that somebody called to see how you were doing, make me feel good. Sometimes when I visit the room at the hospital, I don't stay but a few minutes. And usually when I have a prayer, it's a short one. And by the way, there are people other than preachers who can pray. But if you are sick in a hospital room, would you like for somebody to call or to ask about you or maybe send a card or come by to see you? And even if you're sick at home, would you like to know at least somebody remembered you? As ye would, do ye. You lose a loved one in death. Most of us have experienced that. And there is a period of time at the funeral home that we call visitation, and it's announced at the services, and it's put on the telephone message. And you hear that somebody in the congregation has lost a father or mother or somebody in the family. There's going to be an opportunity tonight for 4 or 5 hours to go by the funeral home or contact them. Would you want people to come by and check on you? Would you appreciate somebody coming by, even if they're a person who has difficulty with words on an occasion like that, who doesn't say a word, but just comes by and maybe puts their arm around your shoulder and possibly sheds a tear with you, or at least you see the concern in their face? And others come and maybe they don't say very much, just simply say, I just wanted you to know that I cared. Is there anything I can do? I'll be thinking about you. I'll be praying for you. Would you want people to do that for you? How would you feel if you lost a loved one and there was a period of time tonight at Casey or Johnson Funeral Home and nobody came? You were there mourning by yourself. Nobody called. Nobody brought a dish of food by the house. Nobody sent a card. As ye would do ye. In our relationships with one another, if we'll just stop and think, I really believe, folks, that this is true. If we'll just stop and think, what do I want people to do in my direction? What would help me? What would comfort me? What would encourage me? And then just turn that right around and try to do just as nearly like that to other people as you can do. I really think that's what that verse is saying. As ye would, do ye. Now for just a moment, switch your thinking from the relationship with man to your relationship with God. And back up to verse 1 in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What do you expect God to do in your direction? Almost every time that we're in a service like this, we say something about thanking God for the great sacrifice that He made in sending His Son. And aren't we glad? And if He had not done that, would we not want Him to do that? If He had not made a way of salvation for us, would we not want Him to? Do we not want God to bless us every day? Do we not wish to have His blessings and His guidance the rest of this day and tomorrow as we go to class or to work or whatever the case may be? What do we expect of God? Maybe we need to stop and mention this, as ye would do ye there. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting a swap out. If we tried to swap out with God, we'd come up far short. And I'm not suggesting a merit system, because there is no way you and I can earn our salvation. And I'm not suggesting we do for God so He'll do for us. I don't believe that's the right attitude. But I am suggesting that maybe it's time that we stop to think. And if we want God to do so much for us, and we really appreciate what He has done and is doing for us, that we need to stop and think just a little bit more about what we are doing. As ye would, do ye. Do you want that relationship of a Christian to God? Have you even become a Christian? Are you living as a Christian? If you really want that relationship with God that's based upon His Word, of course, you need to become a Christian. That's why we encourage you to be baptized. And look what a little thing that is compared to what God... God didn't ask us to make a trip around the world to become a Christian. Something any of us can do almost anywhere at any time. And when we make mistakes and we need forgiveness, He didn't ask us to go somewhere and climb some great mountain to receive forgiveness. He just simply asked us to be penitent, confess, and pray one for another. Something we can do. I want to ask you to really think today about your relationship with people. And always keep in mind, as ye would, do ye. And right now, I want you to think about your relationship to God. As ye would, do ye, as together we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng. Why not